7 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN.
Packer and Durham.
Come on in.
A-list guests up and down the lineup today.
Well, the show's getting ready to get good.
Have a chat.
Did I start with a clean shave in the morning to get yourself right?
The ACC just put on a clinic.
He's unbelievable.
Really made a pretty good team look ordinary.
Pull up a chair with Packer and Durham.
Wound up and ready to go.
Weekday, 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ACCN and streaming live on the ESPN app.
Coming up Tuesday, Josh Allen has been putting up huge numbers recently. But has he done enough to win the MVP award? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Greenberg is Greeny.
The Jets are now not going to get that first pick, and so they become now the franchise that has nothing, which is what happens when the people at the top are incompetent and clueless. It is exclusively about what is better for the franchise, and there is nothing, nothing better about being 1-15 without Trevor Lawrence than being 0-16 with him.
Greeny, weekday mornings at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio, and watch exclusively on ESPN Plus.
The Mina Kimes Show, featuring Lenny.
We're really talking, like, best coach, best team. Like, Matt LaFleur should be in the conversation, right?
But,
like,
Andy Reid, too.
Andy Reid, our finger, right? But it is kind of like a most improved award. And it really feels to me like these last few games matter because I got to say, and I'm not saying this is right, I think the Browns losing to the Jets really hurt Kevin Stefanski, who was getting too much.
Listen and subscribe to The Mina Kimes Show, featuring Lenny, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yo, Pablo Torre here, host of the ESPN Daily Podcast. When you want to go beyond your feet, when you want to get inside the score, when you want to get behind the highlight, there's ESPN Daily. Go deeper into the stories of the moment. Get the exclusive access and insider perspective that only ESPN can give you. ESPN Daily, hosted by me, Pablo Torre. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Today, Angola Jr.
Giannis just left the toothbrush at the house now. Giannis just moved in, brought all his stuff over there. You guys got a dog together now. You're even flirting with the shared bank account. And so there's a sense of buy-in there that lets you know, all right, we're going to be able to weather whatever comes next. It's not going to be the sky falling if they lose in this postseason. Because now he said, nah, baby, I'm in it for the long haul.
Chiney and Golic Jr., weekdays at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio. And now, watch exclusively on ESPN+.
ESPN 97.7 The Ref presents Stan Gerard on Basketball, a weekly inside look into the University of Southern Indiana men's basketball program, featuring comments from the coach and a member of this year's USI team. Stan Gerard on Basketball is being brought to you by Tironi's, Allstott Office City, Banterra Bank, and by Martin Woodruff, State Farm Insurance Agency. Now with USI head coach Stan Gerard, here's the host of the show, ESPN's Dan Agurski.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Stan Gerard on Basketball. Happy New Year. 2021 is the year, and hopefully a year that this USI basketball team are done with the interruptions and can continue to play now 2 and 3 times a week. Had a game to open up the new year yesterday in Kirksville, Missouri, against Truman State, a very good basketball team. Led for about 35 minutes of the game, came up a little bit short at the end, 76-69. We'll certainly talk about that with Coach DeVar. But first of all, how are you?
I'm doing, Dan. Tough night last night, of course, after a tough loss. And up all night just trying to figure my guys out. You know, it's been a long while since we played, but last night just wasn't happy with the number of things we've done. But, you know, I guess that's why you practice. We're going to get back after today and try to prepare for Quincy on tomorrow night.
All right, and obviously, you know, we've talked about this each and every week with your radio show, Stan. I mean, it's been a season for this USI basketball team. And, again, not making any excuses. Everybody's had to go through it. I mean, but once the season started, you know, Truman State, you know, they had 6 games in. I think USI, with 3 games going into yesterday's game, I think Illinois Springfield may have only played 2. Their last game was December the 5th. And so, you know, you look at it and – everybody wants to play well every single night, but this obviously has had to be the biggest challenge for you and your coaching staff. We were talking last night and early this morning at breakfast. I mean, the fact that, you know, no spring, no summer, and then in and out 2 or 3 different times with the interruption, I just can't believe where your frustration level would be.
Yeah, you know, I try to remain positive, but at the same time, I'm a competitor. You know, I want to win. They want to win. And, you know, things are just not falling into place right now. We are so behind the eight ball. And not to take anything away from Truman State. You know, they played a great basketball game down the stretch. But that's when their experience kicked in. That's when, you know, not the experience from the team, but the experience from six games. You know, we haven't been in that situation only playing three games, you know, going into the game last night. So you saw down the stretch how they finished the game on a 14-7 run because I think they just played more game. They was into a better rhythm. And our rhythm has been off with all the stopping and going of the season. And not to mention, we haven't had a chance to spend much time together, you know, in the spring, in the fall, and even this year. You know, we this is our fourth game, our first road trip, and just haven't had much time to get into no type of offensive rhythm. But I knew that was going to happen. I told our guys before last night, before McKendry, before Rockers, that our defense has got to be our backbone right now until our offense gets into a rhythm, because I think we have the most talented team probably in the league. But, you know, we have to trust and believe in the defense. And down the stretch, a lot of defensive mental mistakes that we made that's not going to win very, very many ball games.
All right, so Truman State's got some experience back. How much last night do you feel fatigue was a factor, if at all?
I think it was. You look at minutes. Jelani, 34 minutes. Tyler Henry, 26. Mateo, 34. Clayton Hughes, 32. You think about fatigue setting in with the shot that Mateo missed. He just came down. I think he scored 6 or 8 in a row. Then he came down and shot an air ball to tie the game up. You know, it was a great look. You know, I thought the other three shots were a lot tougher looks than the one he missed. But yeah, fatigue set in. You know, we had guys in foul trouble, and we got in a bind where Josh and Emmanuel were in foul trouble, and I couldn't take Mateo out because we needed one of the guys out there who's been around the program. So I think Mateo's legs were gone. I think Jelani's legs were gone. Clayton got into a decent rhythm last night. Hopefully he'll be ready to go again tomorrow. But, you know, fatigue set in very well. We wanted to play more guys, but, you know, we're not answering the call right now. We are struggling. Well, last night anyway, we struggled with our bench play. And I think we got to get into a good rhythm tomorrow so we can play more guys, you know, because we're not going to – the way I want to play, you know, with our speed and everything like that, we got to play 10. We got to play 10 guys.
And so that – because, again, the team was off for the mandatory moratorium week. You know, and I'm sure a lot of those guys probably spent some time doing something basketball related to trying to stay in shape. But let's be honest, these kids are college kids that go home for Christmas and probably a lot of sitting around, a lot of, you know, eating and everything else. And so, you know, they've got to kind of get back in playing shape. And we've said this from day one. I mean, this is a team that is nowhere near the physical condition that you want it to be.
No, we're missing out on a lot, you know. And it's across the board. You know, everybody has to break. But, you know, as you said, going into the game last night, was it 3 weeks and a day?
Yeah.
Since our last game, and it showed, you know. We got off to a great start when the legs were fresh. And then, like you said, once fatigue set in, you know, you can see the mental mistakes we made, we made late that we wasn't making early. You know, you saw the breakdown on the offensive end where we shot the ball too quick, the missed tags and the ball screens, not being in the gaps off the basketball and things like that. So I think fatigue played a major role last night. And the first thing that goes when you fatigue is your mind. You go back and you watch the game film. I watched it 3 times since last night. And every time I watch it, there's something else, you know. So I think from a mental standpoint, we got to get a little bit tougher mentally as well as physically.
How big of a factor was it that Josh picked up those two quick fouls? I mean, limited to 19 minutes. You've said before that, you know, guys – that's what they can expect to play, maybe 19, 20, 22 minutes. But yeah, at this point, you got to go with experience. You got to go with the guys that are going to get you to where you want to be. How big was the factor last night when he got an early foul?
It was huge because we needed Josh to give us at least 26, 27 minutes last night. And I think Josh and Emmanuel both got a bad whistle. I thought both of those guys' fifth fouls were great wall-ups, you know, but I'm not an official. I'm always trying to help those guys out. But if you look at when those guys got the ball inside, they were getting physically pushed around a little bit. But we got to be smarter. You know, I told our guys today in the film session, you know, you take a guy like Emmanuel who fouled out. His first foul of the game was a block call, but it wasn't his fault because it was Tyler's breakdown on his closeout. Tyler did not win his closeout. He closed out to a guy. He drove it. Jelani wasn't in the gap to protect Tyler. And now Emmanuel's down there, you know, fighting for his guy and stepped up, picked up his first foul. So if we fix those kind of things early, you know, win your closeout, you know, be in the gaps off the basketball the way we've been teaching since day one, Emmanuel don't pick up that first foul and may have been there to finish the game for us.
All right, Stan Gerard, basketball here on this Monday night. The Eagles in the midst of their first road trip of the season. They'll be in action tomorrow night against Quincy and then go home and then get back on the road Saturday afternoon for a game at McKendree. Be the second and final game of the year against the Bearcats coming up. But we'll talk about Quincy. We'll talk about McKendree a little bit later. Stan, Kashawn Casey, again, becoming eligible. That we talked about this young man right before Christmas. On the trip, and I know you last night in the pregame show, you said we didn't know whether we'd see him or not just because of the standpoint that he's just really not acclimated to what's going on right now offensively or defensively. But, boy, with Price in foul trouble and then Dancy gave you some extended minutes, we know that he's kind of limited as far as consecutive minutes to play. So Kashawn got in both the first and second half last night. Just your thoughts on his play.
I thought his ball screen coverage was really good. You know, we wanted to keep Turner Scott out of the paint on ball screens. And I'll say this is no knock on our other bigs. He did the best job of keeping him out of the paint. Our goal on those high ball screens is not to let those point guards get outside our hips. And he did a great job of sliding his feet and recovering. On the offensive end, you know, he don't know what's going on. He's still trying to figure it out. But we dumbed it down. We gave him about five plays that we can run when he's in the game. We went to those plays early on so that he can, you know, fit in pretty well. But I thought he was good for us, you know, 7 minutes. When I called his name, Dan, I remember before the game, I said, you may not play today. We got to, you know, we it's going to take some time. And then when I called his name to go in, his eyes kind of lit up. But I was proud of his production. I thought he helped us out in a number of ways. I think he and Dancy, you know, they were great for us. They gave us a true post position because if you think about, for those who watch the game or listen, Josh shot a lot of mid-range jump shots. You know, those guys are true. He and Tyler, Kashawn and Tyler Dancy are true back-to-the-basket post guys. And I think once Kashawn's legs get up under him, he understands what we're doing. I think he's going to help us out. You know, I thought Dancy gave us a good 13 minutes last night, and he shot four free throws. You know, he was posting up deep, and that's what we're trying to find out of Josh. We're not getting that yet, but we're going to get that. But Kashawn was good for us last night. He filled a gap where needed, and, you know, Josh and Emmanuel got in foul trouble. We had to go with something different, and those guys brought something great to the table for us.
Okay, we'll come back with more of this edition of Stan Gerard on Basketball right after this on ESPN 97.7 FM, The Ref.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, your finances, your insurance, your life? Then let State Farm agent Martin Woodruff at Evansville help you simplify and get to a better state. Because with Martin handling your auto, home, and life insurance, you'll have more time to handle everything else. And more money, too. Because adding State Farm policies can earn discounts that could add up to 40% and actually help you get ahead. Call State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Does your bank offer the personal service of a community bank combined with big bank products that you expect? I'm Dane Chandler, Banking Center Manager with Banterra, and with our bank, you get the best of both worlds. Our easy-to-use mobile app includes conveniences like mobile check deposit. We offer competitive CD and money market rates, smart mortgage options, and unmatched business products and services. Switching to Banterra is easy. Stop by our locations to learn more. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys make a noise. At Taroni, ain't nothing but a pizza party. At Taroni, Vinny and the Main Street Boys are calling. Made fresh right here, the best pizza and beer. So follow us down the Pizza Break Road. All right. Vinny and the Main Street Boys are making noise. All right.
Back here, Stan Gerard on basketball on this Monday. The Eagles on this road trip will be in Quincy tomorrow night. We'll have it for you, everybody, here at 7:30 tip-off on ESPN 97.7 FM. Stan, let's just talk about a couple other guys, you know, based on last night's game. Clayton Hughes, you know, it's his second game back. He played against McKendree. We know what he can do, just his range, both offensively and defensively. Was in a really good rhythm, as you talked about in the first half. Scored 10 points. And then as far as his offensive production, not another point. What was going on in the second half to maybe limited his scoring opportunities?
I think he stopped being aggressive. You know, he got downhill in the first half. I mean, I remember a play ran the first half, the running baseline, and hit him on the right wing to get him downhill. To his mid-range or a floater, he stopped being aggressive. You know, we told him in a number of timeouts, like, if you have any daylight, you got to shoot it, but also get downhill. He drove one late second half baseline, and he was at the rim, but he passed and turned it over. So he just stopped being aggressive, you know, and that's not what we need out of him, especially when other guys are not going. But, you know, he had a chance today to watch himself. We clipped all of our guys last night, so they can see some of the things they can improve on, and hopefully he'll come out with a different mindset tomorrow for a full 40 minutes versus 20. You know, I think, like Mateo, fatigue set in. This is the most minutes he's logged since he's been back. So I think fatigue set in, and, you know, he's got to get his confidence. If he misses a couple shots, he seems to quit shooting, and I don't want that. I want him to remain aggressive with his offense, you know. But, again, I think fatigue – had a great deal to do with, what, you know, with him not shooting the basketball, because it showed on the defensive end as well.
All right, Tyler Henry, was 2 for 2. And here's a guy that, you know, you were telling me, and I was expecting him maybe to, you know, put up 10, 12 shots a game. But, well, got to take us through his game yesterday.
2 for 2. I think if I'm 2 for 2, I'm going to keep shooting until I miss a couple. He turned one over in the second half, and I kind of challenged him to take care of the ball. But he just quit shooting. He's so worried about – Tyler's a perfectionist. You had him on the show. He's a smart kid. And he saw that – I remember one time out last night when Josh and Emmanuel wasn't getting the ball, and I heard him come out of the huddle saying, "We're going to get you the ball. I'm going to get you the ball." He catches an open – he catches the ball on the wing, a wide-open jump shot, and turns it down and passes the post. But he's got to be aggressive as well. You know, anytime you go 2 for 2 – you know, a guy who's playing, the minutes that Tyler's playing, you know, 2 shots is not enough for him. And he's got to remain aggressive and not get so consumed with getting guys the ball. He's got to – I appreciate, you know, him wanting to share the ball, but at the same time, he's got to be aggressive, and he was not that. You know, he's got a great mid-range jump shot, and he's got to shoot that more. And we watched film with him today as well, and we clipped all of his offense, not just last night, in the previous 3 games, so we can see where his shots is coming from. And he was the first to admit that he wasn't as aggressive last night as he has been in the past, and that's going to change.
Okay, so you've been around this a long time.
20 years.
Okay, when you go into a film session,
yeah,
and, you know, coaches will tell me, a lot of them have said, you know, you can kind of tell where everybody is, especially – maybe later in the year, when you get close to kind of spring break and it's been a grind, and you can tell whether or not the team has already checked out or whether they want to still play some more basketball. You have the ability, these kids, to see every one of their single possessions. So as you go through this film session from last night, certainly disappointed that the team didn't win. What was kind of the – what did you take out of the film session today just based on the team and kind of their reaction?
I went back and I watched it, like I said, 3 times. I watched it from a coaching standpoint to improve our guys. Then I watched this from a fan standpoint to see what's going on. Then I watched it so that I can improve. Like I told our guys today, we all can get better. You know, I'm not sitting there saying that this one play costs us the game, but it's a number of small plays, the little things add to something big. So I think the main thing I took out of the film session today when I sat down with my coaching staff and then each player was energy and effort and control what we can control. We can't control how many shots we're going to miss, but we can control how we're going to rebound. We can control where we're going to be on the defensive end. We didn't do a particularly great job with our rebound. We out-rebounded those guys by four, and we're supposed to be the more athletic team, the taller team, and we only out-rebounded by four. And then you look at our fast break points. We struggled. We only scored 7 points in transition. You know, last year I think we were getting 18 to 20 a game in transition. And then their field goal percentage, you know, that was off the charts last night. They shoot 52%. Our goal every game, when those guys go into the locker room and come back inside the locker room, I write on the board, I erase the game plan. And our goal every game to hold each opponent to 70 points or below. Our other goal is 40% or below from the field. Six kills, which is three consecutive stops in a row, so we want six of those. I'm always preaching plus 10 on the boards and 16 assists. And over the past 20 years, if you achieve at least three or four of those goals, you're going to win the basketball game based on the numbers we've kept over the years. And we didn't do any of that. We had six kills last night, but the rebounding, the assists, the point totals that Truman State got in the field goal percentage, there's a reason why we lost that basketball game last night.
Stan Gerard on basketball here on this Monday night, getting ready for a big ball game coming up tomorrow night on the road against Quincy. We'll talk about that a little bit later on here in the program. The overall, as far as this basketball team, I think everybody on the roster on this trip, Tyler's in a walking boot, and Michael Rogers with an incident involving his nose. And so forgot all about that, and then, you know, I didn't see him dressed last night. So what's the latest with Michael?
He's having surgery on Wednesday. He took an elbow to the nose in practice on Wednesday from Elijah, of all people, the nicest guy in the world. And it was a loose ball, and you know how two guys get tangled up, and Elijah snatched it out of his hand and caught him in the nose. And poor fella, he was down. But he's a tough kid, man. He stood up, and he wanted to go back and practice. Blood's everywhere. We get him down to the doc, and the doc said he needs surgery. And it sucked because anytime you have a broken nose, there's swelling. So he had to get a COVID test, the old one where they stick it up in your nose. Oh. So that was painful, but he's a tough cookie. So he'll have surgery on Wednesday, and they'll get him a mask. So hopefully once he's out of surgery, we'll get him back on the court. I don't know how long. Laura's doing a great job with that. But we'll get him back on the court at some point.
Okay, so that, and then Tyler in the walking boot, and Glenn still dealing with the shoulder?
I think Glenn's ready to go. Glenn in practice before we left, he practiced, and that was a good sign. So we're going to give Glenn a shot tomorrow in the game and see if he can space the floor for us. We got to look at something different tomorrow, possibly a lineup shift. I'm thinking Clayton for Jelani, but I'm also thinking once we get into a rhythm to not play Josh Price and Emmanuel so much because there's no spacing in terms of shooters. I think those two guys are clogging the middle up a lot because they both are demanding the ball in the post. And I think that's where Glenn can come in and help us out with spacing the court with, four shooters with the post guys. So we're going to get out a shot tomorrow, and hopefully we can space the court and produce some offense. You know, we didn't score enough last night. 69 points is not USI basketball. And we got to space the court, get some inside outs. But I think Glenn's a guy who can help us space it for a little bit.
So are you looking at having limited time on the floor with both Emmanuel and Josh?
Well, I say that now, but you know how it is. Once you get into the floor of the game, but I'm going to give it a look early, and we'll do the analysis on the sidelines, so the plus-minus rather, to see where they are. And if the plus-minus is in a positive state, not the red, then we'll continue to look at it. But we're going to give it a shot sometime midway through the first half to put Emmanuel at the five or Josh only and take one of those guys out and see if we can, you know, create some space inside so that we can have one guy in the post and four guys spaced out so we can try to have an inside-outside attack.
All right. You know, Truman State came in, ranked seventh in the nation, whatever that's worth, not a whole lot at this point of the season. They lose to Merrillville, so they're certainly going to be one of the better teams here in this league. You played them at their place. Led, like I said, for about 35 minutes and had to leave with about a minute 25 to go. And then, well, they made some shots and things just didn't kind of go our way. But know, through four games, you look at it, you're 2-2. You don't want to be that. You want to be 3-1, 4-0. So, you know, when you look at this league, I mean, you know, Rockhurst and Lewis, and it's a 25-point game yesterday, and Rockhurst scores 47 points. We saw them, they put 80 up. So, I mean, just a crazy league. And obviously, you know, this is a big week for this team just because you're kind of getting back into it now. There's going to be back-to-back games, and, you know, they're on the road.
It's a huge week. And this league is unbelievable, Dan. You've been around it for a long time, just like I have. And I would have never guessed it. That Lewis would pound Rockhurst the way he did at Rockhurst. We had a chance last night to win a ball game against a really good basketball team. That's like I said before. That's a well-oiled machine, you know. And I think their experience kicked in with guys who have been around the program for years, plus the you know how many games they played. And we just got to keep getting better as we play here. I think we are. Saw a lot of good things last night after watching, but also saw a lot of bad things. So we got to improve on the great and improve on the things that we did bad last night. But Quincy tomorrow, hopefully we'll get better. We'll play better than we did on last night, and then on McKendree on Saturday at McKendree. So I think the more we play, we're going to continue to grow. And right now, I think our biggest thing is I wrote on the board, trust and believe, you know, trust each other, believe in the system, not just the parts that are easy, you know. So we're at that point right now this early in the season, but this is why we practice, this is why we game plan, this is why we, you know, watch film. We're just trying to get better every day.
Any coach in any sport will say you don't get too high after a win or too low after a loss. You got to take some things for the, you know, the good and certainly some things for the bad. So you watched the film three times, and the game has, you know, been over about 24 hours. So you see more good than bad?
About 60-40. Okay. 60-40. I didn't like our ability to finish the game last night. You know, I didn't I loved our defense in the first half. I thought we smothered Scott. But then as the game and the long fatigue set in, the middle part of the game, we lost that. So I saw a lot of good. I see some things that we've implemented. There's been some carryover, especially while we're fresh. So, but I also saw some things that we didn't do so well. You know, you think about it down the stretch. You called the game last night. Two-point game. We're taking one pass, quick shot, you know. Go down to the other end. They make you guard for 20, 25 seconds. You know, miss a shot, get an offensive rebound, and put back in the foul. So we just got to do a better job with our execution, not just on the offensive end, but really – on the defensive end. I hold our guys more accountable on the defensive end of the basketball court because that's going to win ball games for you. I think the offense is going to take care of itself. We're not going to – I'll be shocked if we only score 69 points in another basketball game this year. You know, we just got to get our legs back and trust and just do a better job overall, especially in transition. I tell you what, they handled our press very well last night. They bought a guy down the middle, a guy on the opposite, and they caught it, and they advanced it, and we picked up a foul or gave up layups. We threw the 1-3-1 zone in last night, and I think we were 0-2. They found a hole. They overloaded the side, skipped it to the other, wide open three. So far, they exposed us, you know, more than anybody has in our pressure defense, which is something we try to make our backbone in terms of how we want to play.
So you brought up an interesting comment about that zone last night, Stan, in the press. I mean, these are the guys, and again, the returning players didn't do a whole lot of that last year. Obviously, they saw it when they played Indianapolis, so they kind of know. But how difficult is that just to bring a new system in to players that have been acclimated to playing one way, and then you want them to play this way? And kind of put everything in a pretty short period of time.
It's different because they've been under a different coach for years, and now I come in and everything is new. We changed everything, how we're going to guard. We put a press in. I've never seen USI play a zone when Coach Watson was around. I've never seen him press. And now we come in and we're pressing. It's a different mindset you got to have. You got to forget about the old and do what, you know, do whatever it is that we're asking of you. And I'm not saying they haven't been. And like I told our guys, it's new for everybody. It's new for me to coach you guys. It's new for those guys to to try to buy into my culture. You take the two teams that are struggling the most right now, us in Indianapolis, for example. New coach, good team, just new system. They're just trying to figure out, you know, how things are going to be. And it's just going to take time, and I keep telling myself daily that Rome was not built in one day. I keep telling myself, but I'm a fierce competitor, man, and you've been around me for years, and I want to win. I want to win just walking out to the door. If I'm walking outside with you to get on the bus, I want to beat you to the bus because I'm just that competitive, and I'm trying to instill that in my guys more than anything, and we don't have that yet. And it's better than it was yesterday. It's going to be better tomorrow than it is today, and it's just going to take some time. Now, with this zone, Dan, we've been the 1-3-1. We've been working on it for weeks, probably before the Indy game. We started on that early December. And it was our first time last night running against another team. It looked great in practice. And they scored on it twice last night, and I didn't run it again because confidence was lost after they hit a couple of baskets. The press, same thing last night. You know, when we went 55 and tried to trap a couple, they beat us and we pulled out because I didn't see the effort there, or we couldn't speed those guys up the way I wanted to. Turner Scott, he didn't score the ball a lot last night, but he was comfortable all night handling the basketball. And even the Miller kid, Mason Miller, that's his first game back from his quarantine. And they were comfortable a majority of the night. We didn't take them out of the comfort zone, and that's what's disappointing to me as a coach because I think we could have played harder for the most part, you know. But we talked about it in our film session this morning. That's why we came over to the hotel tonight so we can get up this morning and have a Truman State film session, let them rest a day. And when we met about Quincy, we're not going backwards now, we're going forward.
All right, Stan Gerard on basketball. We'll come back. We'll talk about where the league is. Also, I think we'll have a special guest. Clayton Hughes will be joining us when we come back. This is Stan Gerard on basketball on ESPN 97.7 FM, The Ref.
It's not just a home or a car. It's the 6 months you save for your Ultra HD flat screen just in time for the basketball season and the overtime you work for that third car so your teen can drive himself to practice. While other insurance companies just see them as a bundle or combo, State Farm agent Martin Woodruff sees your home and car as things you work really hard for. Martin understands what your things really mean to you and is here to help you give them the protection that they deserve. Talk to State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville for your home and auto insurance today.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys making noise. At Taroni, ain't nothing but a pizza party. At Taroni, Vinny and the Main Street Boys are calling. Made fresh right here, the best pizza and beer. So follow us down the Pizza Break Road. All right. Vinny and the Main Street Boys are making noise. All right. Pizza party.
Does your bank offer the personal service of a community bank combined with big bank products that you expect? I'm Dane Chandler, Banking Center Manager with Banterra, and with our bank, you get the best of both worlds. Our easy-to-use mobile app includes conveniences like mobile check deposit. We offer competitive CD and money market rates, smart mortgage options, and unmatched business products and services. Switching to Banterra is easy. Stop by our locations to learn more. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Back here, Stan Gerard on basketball here on this Monday. And we've got Coach Gerard and Clayton Hughes going to join us here in just a second. Of course, Clayton, one of the seniors on this year's basketball team. And will join us here live. How are you?
Good. How about yourself?
Not bad. Not too bad. Well, thanks a lot. We're obviously a little bit different than Taroni's here this afternoon, but appreciate a few minutes of your time. And well, just talk a little bit about the start of your season. I mean, you came back, you got into the McKendree game, your first game, and Well, it didn't look like they missed a beat too much, Clayton. And then certainly last night against Truman State, 10 first-half points. And just kind of where you are and your comfort level right now.
Oh, I'm feeling pretty comfortable. You know, I mean, for as comfortable as I can be with this, how weird the season's been and just the circumstances. But, you know, we're coming together as a team. And I feel really good playing with these guys and having the new coaches. And I've really enjoyed them and just all the practices with them and all the games. But as far as comfort-wise, I'm feeling pretty good and pretty confident moving forward. So, yeah.
Okay, you know, and we've had a chance to talk to certainly Mateo, Emmanuel, and Josh, and some of the other leaders on this year's team, and haven't had a chance to talk to you yet. But obviously, you know, you transferred in and played at USI last year, and then you come back for your senior year, and there's another coach. And so this is, in your college career, at least I know your third head coach, probably maybe even more than that. So what's that been like for you?
It's different, you know. I mean, it's always a learning curve, learning a new system and how you the coaches react to everything. But I feel pretty good about these guys, and they've just been really open arms with everybody and making the transition a lot more smooth. So it's been going really good.
You know, and that's the thing. I mean, Stan and I were talking earlier in the show. You know, last year with Coach Watson, and obviously defense, rebounding, were on the board every single day. That was, you know, the key. And now kind of a new system, a little bit more of an up-tempo style of play. From a player's perspective, you know, Clayton, how difficult has that been, or maybe the challenges that you guys have faced with the new system and trying to learn it through Zoom and everything else?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely difficult, especially like you said, through Zoom is when we first met everybody, and that was weird. Definitely my first time doing that. But as far as like the system, I really enjoy it. And yeah, it's new for me because I've played for a lot of teams where we like to push the ball and we like to play fast, but never really this fast. And with all the athletes we have, we're very capable of doing that. It just comes down to execution and getting it in our heads that this is our best basketball, but the coaches are on us every day, and I think we're going to get a lot better at it. So,
well, and that's the thing. I mean, you look at this team and all the talent, and you think, okay, you know, coach wants to play 10 guys, and, you know, he's told you probably more than once, you know, just because you might have played 30, 35 minutes last year, you know, we want you to get it down to about, you know, 18 to 20, 23, 24 minutes. Everybody wants to contribute. Everybody wants to know what their role is, and sometimes the roles have to change just from all the new guys, new system. Do you feel that this team is kind of making the necessary steps? I mean, Rome wasn't built in a day. Everybody wants to win every single game, but, you know, it's a process.
Right. Like, yeah, it's definitely a process. And a lot of guys, you know, especially some of our freshmen, they kind of just, they're coming in, it's their first year, and returners and stuff, you know, they expect certain things, and you got to work for everything you get, and with this system and with the coaches. And that's what I love about it, because if you do what you got to do, play your part, you're going to find your spot on the court and help us win. And so hopefully we kind of come together a little more and start learning our roles a little better. And even when guys, like for me, for example, I try, even if I'm not doing some things that I normally do, I try to affect the game in many other ways. And usually that helps me stay out there and whatnot. So hopefully we can all get that concept.
Okay. And just, you know, as far as your game this summer, you take a look at it and, you know, what you can bring to this team, your wingspan defensively, rebounding, the way that you can drive and slash to the basket. You know, what parts of the game did you work on? I know you're going to say every phase of it, but what were some of the things that you concentrated maybe a little bit more this offseason than the other seasons getting ready for this year?
I tried to focus on a lot of shooting. I feel like my just like three-pointer hasn't really been the best it's ever been. And with an injury this on the offseason, I kind of lost a little athleticism, gained a little weight, and trying to fix that. But as of now, I've been trying to focus on just my shot right now. I'm trying to get that right to where I can knock down shots and do what I can. So hopefully I keep that up.
Well, that was the thing. I mean, last night, 10 points there in the first half, a couple of drives to the baskets and three-point shots. So, I mean, from the confidence level right now, it's got to be, I would think, pretty high.
Yeah, definitely. I feel pretty good about my shot and ability on offense. I just got to work on my defense a lot better, and I'll get that down too and start working on that. So we'll see.
Okay.
Clayton, Clayton's taking the most charges on the team so far. That's not, it's not a high number, but what's your thing, man? You you just like to get on the floor, man? What's the deal? I think when I played or guys I coached, it's just an energy booster for the team. Mm-hmm. So talk about that a little bit.
It definitely is. You know, I mean, a lot of people like to dunk the ball and make, like, the flashy play, and that gets the bench hype. But I've had my experience where some of the charges I've taken gets everyone hype more than a dunk sometimes. And I don't know, something about – it's just, like, demoralizing for the other team too. Like, when you drive into the basket, someone takes a charge on you, it's like, God, this dude is going to be down here next time, and it makes them think about it, you know. And just that whole factor of – what am I going to do if I see him down there next, you know? Am I going to just pull up or run him over again? So, yeah.
Another question. Favorite rapid-fire question. Favorite food?
Probably sushi.
Sushi.
Big sushi guy, yeah.
What's your playlist on game day?
Playlist on game day? Last few games I've been listening to Illmatic. Just the full album.
I have no idea what that is.
Don't ask me.
I'm older than you. Don't ask me.
Nas action.
Okay.
90s rap, you know.
Illmatic. I know you guys listen to music in practice. I don't know what the heck it'd be.
Yeah.
I just kind of tune it all out. Favorite basketball player of all time?
LeBron.
Definitely. Take him off the team and off the show, man. LeBron James, really, man?
That's, you know, I was born
That's
and raised LeBron.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
My brothers don't like that answer either, though. They're a little older and MJ fans.
MJ fan, okay. I like your brothers. Well, it's been a joy to coach you, man. I look forward to what we're going to do this year. I know we are struggling a little bit right now at 2-2. I think once we get more games under our belt, I think this team is just going to take off. And I think, you know, with what you went through, you handled it like a champion. You know, our first encounter, personal encounter, wasn't the greatest, but had a chance to meet your mom and I think we're in a good place. You've been absolutely amazing to be around so far, man, and I'm happy to coach you.
Appreciate it.
We look forward. We're gonna try to convince this guy to come back next year because it's another senior year.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, that's the thing. I mean, you know, we were talking earlier today, Coach. I had an opportunity to have breakfast with Coach Spruance and Coach Aldridge and Kevin. Been around Kevin a long time, and you know, I'm trying to get to know John and you know, both Johns. And we were talking about college athletes. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about kids and kind of this word entitlement. And in his case, it could have been very easy for him to say, you know what, hey, I've played enough basketball, I made a mistake, and you know what, I'm moving on. Yeah. But to your credit, Clayton, I mean, you worked hard, you did everything, and the people that he talked to about you, the teammates and professors and everything else, I mean, certainly – yeah, we all make mistakes. We're all entitled to a second chance, and I know you're grateful that he gave you one, but you're certainly taking advantage of that too.
Yes, sir. It's definitely a blessing. I mean, there's not a lot of coaches that would have sat down with my family and my mom and just had that, like, heart-to-heart with me. And it just – it's a terrible way to meet your new coach first and foremost, but I think we kind of initiated a bond, like, right away and – just like him opening up to me and me opening up to him, it just kind of set the stones for what's going to come in the future. So it's a special thing that came out of a terrible
thing. And I tell you, Dan, I think I told you because after I met with Clayton, I came down in the summer. I ended up driving from India to sit down with Clayton. Then you and I went out later that day, and I got a number of emails from professors, John Mark Hall, I mean, on your behalf on how good of a person you are. And I didn't know you from Adam. I'm like, I don't know. But once I met you and mine, man, I see the apple don't fall too far from the tree. Mm-hmm. And a great family, man. And just getting a joy to be around. So, yeah, we're excited.
All right. How excited are you for this Quincy game tomorrow night? How tough is it then for you and this team? I mean, I talk to Stan every week about, well, we're on a week, we're off a week, we're on a week, we're off 2 weeks. I mean, how difficult is it from a player's perspective?
It's tough. I mean, it's just you go from – a week full of a hard practice to just find out that you can't play and you feel kind of like, oh, we did this for nothing. But it's just you got to keep a mindset of just like grinding through it. And it's one of those years where you just got to stay mentally tough and mentally ready at all times because you don't know when the phone call is going to come in. Oh, somebody's got COVID and we got to sit for 2 weeks or a week or whatever else. And it's just weird. But, you know, I think it just if we stay mentally prepared at all times, it's going to be to our advantage.
All right. Well, I'm glad that you're back. You made decision and keep you on this team because obviously you're going to be an instrumental part of it. Your senior leadership, and look forward to getting a big victory tomorrow night against Quincy.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
Me too. Appreciate it, Clayton. Thanks. All right, Clayton Hughes joining us here. This edition of Stan Jordan Basketball. We'll come back. We'll talk about the league and tomorrow night's game with Quincy when the show continues here on ESPN 97.7 FM, The Ref.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, your finances, your insurance, your life? Then let State Farm agent Martin Woodruff at Evansville help you simplify and get to a better state. Because with Martin handling your auto, home, and life insurance, you'll have more time to handle everything else, and more money, too. Because adding State Farm policies can earn discounts that could add up to 40% and actually help you get ahead. Call State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys making noise at Taroni. Ain't nothing but a pizza party at Taroni.
Does your bank offer the personal service of a community bank combined with big bank products that you expect? I'm Dane Chandler, Banking Center Manager with Banterra, and with our bank, you get the best of both worlds. Our easy-to-use mobile app includes conveniences like mobile check deposit. We offer competitive CD and money market rates, smart mortgage options, and unmatched business products and services. Switching to Banterra is easy. Stop by our locations to learn more. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Mart's Mattress Outlet is the only store in town where you will save up to 80% off famous name brands every day. Mart's Mattress Outlet carries the top name brand mattresses at closeout, clearance, and liquidation prices. They also manufacture their own line of luxury sleep natural mattresses, pillows, and adjustable bases, saving you up to 80%. That's compared to famous name brands. All famous brands are stocked, so bring your truck, your trailer, and sleep well tonight. Go to MartsMattress.com for a location near you and download the Outlet Pass for even more savings. Mark's Mattress Outlet, name brands for less.
Mark's Mattress Outlet.
Back here, final segment of this edition of Stan Jordan on Basketball here on ESPN 97.7 FM. Again, tomorrow night, the Eagles will be on the road at Quincy. They'll take on the Hawks. They got a big win against Indianapolis yesterday. Sit at 2-5. Before we talk about Quincy, Coach, you know, again, we made a comment earlier. I mean, there's some teams, you know, USI, they played four games, Illinois Springfield three. Truman State's played seven, Quincy's played seven, Indianapolis has played four. So, you know, quite a bit of disparity. And this early in the season, when you've got three, four more games over somebody, we talked about this earlier, it's a big advantage. And the fact that every game's a conference game this year, things like that. But, you know, this team will catch up with these games. And, you know, tomorrow's another opportunity to play, to get better, to hopefully get a win, and kind of get things turned around and heading in the right direction.
I'm excited about the opportunity tomorrow to get back on the court. You know, you look across the board and you see other teams playing games, and I'm not going to lie, I get jealous because I want to play more. And I just feel like the more we play, the more we're going to get into some type of a rhythm. And we kind of lost the rhythm yesterday, but a back-to-back game may do us some good so we can kind of get our legs back under us and get into some type of rhythm.
All right. Well, I mean, you look at Truman State, 6-1, Southwest Baptist, 4-1, Missouri St. Louis off to a little bit of a slow start, but they've rebounded now. They're 4-2. And, you know, Lewis, I mean, all these teams that, you know, again, these standings could be just the opposite coming 2-3 weeks from now. But any thoughts, you know, just as far as the league is concerned, anything that's kind of surprised you or got you scratching your head a little bit at all?
You know, I think the Rockhurst-Lewis score surprised me. I didn't think Indy would go on forward with the talent they had coming back. Looking at Lindenwood and guys like that, they're off to a good start, as well as Southwest Baptist. Unsel's the probably the one team I'm shocked. I think they have, you got them down for two losses, maybe?
4-2, yeah.
4-2. I'm shocked. I forgot who the game was against. That was a game they should have won. But this league is so good that it's never a night off. You take S&T, who beat Drury a couple weeks ago. You know, at S&T, I think that was the first time that Drury has lost at S&T in like 32 years.
Wow.
So this league is unreal. Quincy last night beats Indy for the first time in Ryan Hellendahl's tenure as the head coach there. So this league is a competitive league across the board with great, great, great players and coaches.
All right, so you take a look at this Quincy team, but about a week or so ago, you probably would have said, well, we can't wait to get to Quincy. And then they played Truman State to a 96-91 overtime game. They beat Indianapolis last night. You know, Tanner Stuckman, a guy that's, you know, been around about as long as, you know, you and I have been around. Just seems like, when does that guy ever graduate?
He may be my age.
Yeah, but, you know, this is a team 2-5, and normally when fans are here, you know, they're right on top. You're a very tough place. That certainly won't be the situation tomorrow night, but for whatever reason, you brought good teams in here. I've been a part of USI that have come to Quincy and had really good teams. On paper, it doesn't look like to be much of a game. But they play some pretty good basketball in their own building.
Don't let the numbers fool you. They're sitting at 2-6, and they're a few stops away from, you know, being 6-2 or 5-3. You know, they, like I said, they took Truman overtime. They beat Indy last night, but when they played at Maryville a couple weeks ago, I think they went off for 18 threes. You know, they just shoot the ball extremely well. Stuckman and Cole, I can't even pronounce
Kuchoa.
His name. Cole, there we go. Those two guys are matchup nightmares. I think he had 37 a couple weeks ago against someone, but they just shoot the ball. Point guard is 6'8", number 10, Kuchoa, whatever, however you pronounce his name.
Oh, Kovacevic.
Kovacevic.
Yeah, I was looking at Kendrick, the guy that you know from Indiana.
No,
yeah,
I'm talking Quincy ball now.
Yeah, sorry, man.
This kid is bringing the ball up to court at 6'8". And he's trying to break it down off the bounce if he can, but it's going to be a problem for us from a matchup standpoint. They put Stuckman in ball screens, and he pops, and he can shoot. He goes 5-7 last night from three. So I think small ball is probably going to be our answer, but at the same time, they're going to put our guards in the post if we go small ball, especially with Clayton or Glenn at the four. So we got to somehow do a great job. Tomorrow's game is going to be all about challenging a three-point shot. You know, it's going to be all about a one-and-done, you know, chasing down those long rebounds and then playing at a different speed and pace and execution that we played with a couple weeks ago against McKendree, because I thought when we played those guys, I thought we were starting to turn the corner. You know, and then we hit that wall with not going to Indy, and then our offense, of course, stalled last night. But these guys are shooting the ball very well. And we're going to struggle guarding three, but we got to do a great job of getting out, contesting shots, and making sure Stuckman don't get going, because he can space the floor. He can space the floor.
All right, so they've got a couple of left-handed guards.
Yep.
Obviously, you know all about that, being left-handed yourself. Is there a different way to defend left-handed shooters?
It is, and I haven't even mastered that yet, being left-handed. You know, I think you make all lefties, of course. You got to sit on their left hand, but at the same time, most left-hand players love to drive it right and pull up. Calvert Chaney, for example. Calvert was a great at driving left, but he was really masterful at driving right, pull-up, jump shot. And lefties are hard to guard. You know, they have two lefties on the team. Coakley and what's the other kid's name? I think it's their point guard, if my memory serves me correct.
Chrysler,
correct. Yeah. We got to sit on left, but we can't open up too much either, because if we open up too much and say, okay, we're going to make you go right, we don't want to give up no direct drives to the basket. So we got to kind of square them up a little bit, but understand they want to go left. But left-handed guys are tough guards. I remember – at Indy, I had Adrian Moss and I had Tate Hall, who transferred to Loyola, were lefties, and they were just tough guards. And these guys are going to be tough guards for us to defend because of the left hand, because you're so used to defending right hand basketball players. I think these are probably our first team where there's two guys on the team that's left-handed, you know, so it's going to be a little different for us.
And a team, you know, we go into the McKendree game, and, you know, they're a very good three-point shooting team. Last night, you know, with Miller and Scott and certainly Hunter Strait, even McKnight stood out there last night. I think he had a couple of threes in that second half. So, you know, and Coach Spruance gave me the shooting chart of Quincy so far this year. I mean, boy, what is the percentage of three-point shots? So, I mean, they're going to want to extend the defense. You talk about the long rebounds. So standing around, and the one thing that you always talk about, too, in stress are those 50-50 balls on the floor. And Kevin said it last night. You know, Truman State won that statistic, too. So yes. Long shots lead to long rebounds. So from a defensive standpoint, you talk about blocking out under the basket. You also have to block out of the perimeter, don't you?
Exactly. And last night our guards were leaking out. You know, Jelani had one rebound in 26 minutes. Clayton had two rebounds. We had a lot of guys with one. Our leading rebounder was Mateo and Josh at five. Other than that, rebounding was non-existent. So we got to do a good job, a great job, of challenging shots, but also getting yourself back into play and rebounding out of our area. You know, a lot of times, if you remember late in the game last night, Mateo missed a three-pointer, and Dancy had inside position, but he ran right up into the basket for his rebound. The ball bounces off his head, and they take it out. We got a foul. You know, I told our guys, rebounding is an attitude, Dan. You know, you it's the only stat in basketball I think you can be selfish at is rebounding, along with assists. But that's a selfish stat that I embrace. And our guys are not doing a great job of rebounding out of the area, but we also are running right up under the basket, and the ball is going over our head. You know, we got to get more guys chasing down rebounds. And I was terribly disappointed last night in Jelani and Tyler Henry and Clayton because of their rebounding numbers, because they're 6'5 and gifted athletes. And their goal every game I put on those guys is – they need to get six rebounds every game. That's not hard to do. And it's just, like I said, it's an attitude. And I guarantee you tomorrow, if they're not rebounding, probably got to pull them.
All right, so you look at this team, Quincy, and not too many teams I don't think in this league will be able to match up with USI from a size physical standpoint. So offensively, what will be the game plan against Quincy's defense, and what do you expect from them tomorrow?
Well, we just have to play a little more free. We got to execute better. I want to establish the post, but at the same time, I don't want our guards to get relaxed and so dependent on passing the ball inside. And I met with Jelani Simmons this morning about just playing a little more freer. I thought he struggled last night, he and Tyler Henry, because they were so worried about our inside-outside attack that they forgot about themselves. You know, you can do both. You know, but I think last night we turned down a lot of good shots, you know, great shots for bad shots. So we got to do a better job. But our game plan, of course, is going to be attack these guys in transition on the offensive end. We got to get some early offense. You know, we are our transition, our bigs are running in the same lanes as the guards, and they got to run down the middle. We got to get some kick aheads to the guard, to the post. And then play off that. We got to move faster. Our screening last night was non-existent. We got to do a better job with our screening. That just boils down to our execution. You know, if we execute and we screen the way we should in place, we should get some type of a look. And a majority of our shots last night were challenged because we're not screening or executing.
You know, again, four games into the season, you know, you look at the identity of the team, the characteristic of the team, and you're still trying to figure it out. You know, you've got some guys or maybe some guys that, you know, could start tomorrow night that haven't started. Other guys will have different sets of roles. And, again, with a limited schedule or a reduced schedule this year, you don't have that liberty of, again, let's see what everybody can do when the lights are on against, you know, some non-conference teams that you're going to, you know, kind of get beat up on. You can give them a check and they're going to head out the door. But, you know, this year that's not the case. So each game, each possession is even more important now as far as these players kind of try to figure out, the coaching staff try to figure out who can do what in certain situations.
It's possession basketball. You know, last night came down to possession basketball, and you're right. We don't get the exhibition games or the fluff games. We were thrown right into the fire this year. And 18 games left in the regular season of our 22-game conference schedule. So we can't afford to have any lapses like last night. We got to figure it out. Or there's going to be a big party in Evansville in March, and we're not going to be at the party. You know, and I told our guys that we want to be we named this thing the USI Invitation for a reason. That's what I told my guys. That's what it should be every year. If we're going to host it, we better be planning. It's in our own backyard. It'd be an embarrassment not to be playing here in March because we didn't take care of our business in November, December, January, February.
So, thoughts on, I think the NCAA has reduced the Division II tournament from 64 to 48, so that puts even a little bit more pressure. You know, six teams, I guess, from each region. Now they're maybe even talking about reducing the regions from eight to six and putting eight teams in six different regions. So, 22 games, conference tournament. So, you don't want to hit the panic button after game four, but, boy, tell you what.
You have to because there's not much room for error. And every single game counts because, you know, it's not your typical 26-28 season game. It's 22 conference game, and now you're going region. You know, if they're only going to take six from your region, then, you know, that number six is not looking very good for you if you start losing a couple more. And that's what I've been trying to preach to our guys every day about how important it is to take care of business. You know, for example, last night in Rutgers, you know, we got to win some on the road, but also we got to go on a little run here. You know, and I think tomorrow's a great opportunity for us to go on the road and get ourselves back on the winning side of the column.
Well, let's go do that tomorrow night.
Let's do it. I'm in.
Okay.
I'm in. Right. I'm always down.
All right. Stan Gerard on basketball. Eagles tomorrow night against Quincy. Tip off 7:30 from the Pepsi Arena. We'll have it for you beginning with a pregame show a little bit after 7. I want to thank Stan Gerard, obviously. Clayton Hughes this week. Corey Clayton, our producer, back at the studio. And we will talk to you tomorrow night from Quincy with the Eagles taking on the Hawks. For Coach Gerard, and I'm Dan Ogurski. This has been Stan Gerard on basketball here on ESPN 97.7 FM, The Ref.
You've been listening to Stan Gerard on basketball here on ESPN 97.7 The Ref. Tonight's show has been brought to you by Taroni's, Allstott Office City, by Ventura Bank, and by Martin Woodruff State Farm Insurance Agency. Be listening each Monday night throughout the season for Stan Gerard on basketball. Tonight's show has been another sports presentation of Evansville Sports Programming Incorporated and ESPN 97.7 The Ref, always the right call. ESPN 97.7 WREF, Sebring, Henderson, and Evansville. ESPN 97.7 The Ref.
Manipulate the defender with your eyes, get them off balance, and then make a move. But right now, Indiana's got their eyes down. They're moving the ball side to side, but they've never been a threat to score. And this defense from Maryland is right now dominating this basketball game. Only 21 first half points for this.